This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Jesus' teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet, because of your shameless audacity, he would surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, would give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Amen.
Thank you, Jill. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may my words proclaim your glory. Amen. Today, we have some very simple teaching on prayer by Jesus, but very powerful as well as insightful, and it's never wrong to keep reminding ourselves of the basics. Across the Gospels, the Spirit-filled writers have greater focus on some things rather than others, and one of Luke's focuses is on prayer, especially recording prayer of Jesus. However, as well as often, two Gospels approach the same thing in a different manner. And we have that today with the Lord's Prayer. Today's reading and Matthew's in chapter 6, which is slightly longer. But scholars suggest that it's likely the original version is somewhere between these two versions. However, Luke's context is probably thought to be closer to the original. One of the disciples, inspired by Jesus' example of prayer, ask them to teach them to pray with the same intimacy and all-encompassing trust of God. So Jesus gives them, us, this very simple pattern of prayer. From the very first word, he draws them into the same relationship with God that he himself enjoys. It looks like Jesus had his own special place of prayer, a secluded corner in a garden perhaps, or a spot on a hillside. Anyway, the disciples knew where he was. They also knew better than to disturb him while he was there. His whole life, his inner peace and his outer energy stemmed from his closeness to God. They waited and they watched. Something about him as they prayed, was it a kind of transformation? Forced a request to their lips, "Lord, teach us to pray." John the Baptist had taught his disciples how to pray, and Jesus' disciples had formally followed this way. But Jesus' praying was somehow different. If only then he would teach them to pray. The disciples didn't ask for the theology of prayer or some pose philosophical questions about how our prayer works. They simply wanted to know how to do it. The same is true for many today. Perhaps people inside the church and outside want ideas, suggestions, patterns. They ask, what works for you? Or how do you do it? But often we're inclined to respond with complexities or reluctance, perhaps nervous about it, because maybe we don't know if we are doing it right. So then the question we can ask ourselves, what would be the distinctive feature of Jesus' praying? We can probably find it in the first word, Father. Jesus drawing the disciples from thinking of prayer as a fail-safe formula to the reality of first and foremost about who we pray to. Jesus inviting his followers then as well as us now into that relationship he has with God, his Father, coming in confidence. The address of Father is behind that. An intimate personal relationship on the conviction of God's care, concern, and continual support. And we see that echoed in Luke's record of Jesus' last words on the cross. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. The Lord's Prayer characterizes what a perfect relationship between a parent and a child should be. Jesus begins his prayer with a simple address, Father. In Aramaic, Abba. As in the chorus we sang, Abba, Father, let me be yours and yours alone. Using the word a child would have used at that time to address their father, showing respect as well as intimacy. Interestingly, the Jews used the word Abinu, meaning our Father, and adding in heaven, as we see in Matthew, whose gospel is aligned to Jewish readers. This was a way of distancing themselves from the great God, someone so holy, someone they feared so much to approach. Whereas Jesus was teaching his followers the intimacy of being close to God, thinking of God as their Father. Jesus transforms for us the relationship from one of an impersonal person to be feared into that of a Father we can trust with our innermost thoughts. This is what Jesus offers each of us. That through him we can come to God in a personal relationship, and having that relationship, we can offer our prayers. But it's just not the odd, quick prayer. We are called not just to pray occasionally or only on a Sunday morning, allowing others to do it for us in our collective worship together, whether me earlier or Mark later. Jesus reminds us we're called to be consistent in prayer. Luke has three parables on prayer found nowhere else in the Gospels. Our reading this morning follows one of them, the story of the friend coming at midnight to beg for bread. This story and the one of the widow and the unjust judge found at the beginning of Luke 18 press home the same message, that of persistence as a virtue in prayer, what the writer Tom Wright calls a holy boldness. And in case you're wondering, the third is the parable of Pharisee and the tax collector, highlighting with a warning the wrong approach to prayer. Persistence may seem as a double-edged recommendation, with God in the role of the reluctant neighbor or the unjust judge, having to be nagged into giving us what we want and finally succumbing to stop us bothering him. But Jesus' teaching counteracts that image. If our parents on earth are generous and caring to us as their children, how much more, says Jesus, will our Heavenly Father be, giving generously to all those who ask? In the passage today, we are given the assurance that God will answer our prayer. To fully appreciate the parable of the visiting friend, it's important to understand that hospitality was a serious duty in first century Palestine, that any failure to provide for a guest would bring shame on the host. The parable invites us to put ourselves in the position of someone who has received an unexpected guest but has no food to give them. With shameless audacity, or in the original Greek, just shamelessness, you go to your friend in the middle of night to borrow bread. You're not ashamed to do this. You're prepared to act shamelessly to avoid the worst shame of being a bad host. Will your sleeping friend turn you away? No, such a thing would be unimaginable given the social customs of the time. The prospect of shame clinches the matter. It will be shameful of your friend if they refuse to help you. It will bring disgrace on them. The honor code demands that they assist you, if not out of friendship, then at least to preserve their good name. Accordingly, no other outcome to the story is conceivable. You will have your bread. This parable reaches a straightforward conclusion. If your friend is so certain to answer your plea for help, even at such an unsocial hour, then how much more surely will God answer us when we cry out to him in need? God's goodness is greater than any friend, more reliable than any neighbor. Jesus stresses this, is his saying in verse 8, "So I say to you." And then Jesus is telling us, emphasizing what is coming next. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." And then in verse 9, letting us know something great. "For everyone who asks receives, and those who seek find, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Again, it's not an invitation to go on hammering on God's door in our prayers so God has to give in to help us, us pestering God. No, we're being counseled not to abandon prayer because we think he's not heard, will not hear, we've not received exactly the answer we were wanting or when we wanted it. God is a gracious God who hears our knocking from the moment we begin. We must not give up because there is no immediate answering. And we see this firsthand from Paul. Paul's life demonstrates that building faith is deeply intertwined with endurance. His experience of hardship, persecution, imprisonment, as detailed in Acts and in his letters, show how trials can strengthen faith and character, leading us to a more profound reliance on God. Paul's endurance wasn't about passive waiting, but an active perseverance rooted through his relationship with Christ. Could your prayer life be an inspiration to others? If someone said to you, "Teach me to pray," where would you start? How would you have that conversation with your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues who might be interested to know? Or are you too asking the question, "Teach me to pray"? Either way, the Lord's Prayer is a great starting point. Here, we as disciples following Jesus, following what Jesus taught, can bring our life into our prayer life. In the prayer Jesus gave us, we can pray for the coming of the kingdom, the revelation of God's purposes on earth. And in the next breath, pray for our daily bread, that our very basic sustenance will day by day be satisfied. We can pray for our relationships with one another, that forgiveness may be at the heart of a common life. And for God's protection against everything that may harm our relationship with Him. In these five parts, there's enough material for a lifetime's of prayer, all to the glory of God. Our prayer, typified by Luke, is about giving God due honor and praise, seeing His will in our lives and for the world, using the words Jesus used and gave us to shape our mind and will. Prayer is not just for us. It's not about our trying to change God's mind. It's about praise and adoration. It's about being open to God's changing us. We can do no better than making the Lord's Prayer our prayer. Coming before God in a relationship, knowing that He will give His assurance, that He will answer us. So we come together now in that prayer that Jesus gave us, after which Mark will lead us in our prayers for others. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.